You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the special interview of Eat Sleep Suplex Retweet. I am with one of the most talked about rising stars of the Irish and British independent wrestling scene, the whole shebang, Debbie Patel. Welcome to Eat Sleep Suplex Retweet. How are you?
Good, thank you for having me.
Very, very happy. So I'll start off how we start everybody off. Generic question, but it's a special answer for everybody. And it's, why do you love wrestling and what actually inspires you to take up wrestling as a profession?
Okay, so when I was growing up, my dad had all these tapes. He used to go up to London and he'd come back with all these tapes. Kind of gradually just started watching. Like, he was obsessed with Jake Snake and Roddy Piper. And I just kind of loved the character aspect of everything. Once I realized that I could actually watch this on TV, I like became hooked, and I was obsessed with like Mankind and Goldust. I just loved characters. And like anytime like you'd have like the wrestlers on, and I'd be just like, oh, whatever. And then the minute Goldust came on, I'd be like, oh my god, everyone shut up. I was just kind of hypnotized by the whole thing. Yeah, I just kind of watched it like weekly, and then I kind of fell off the wagon around like the John Cena period. It's like, this is like a new era. It's not edgy anymore. It just wasn't for me. I didn't follow it anymore. So then I kind of, you know, life goes on. And I got a bit older and years went by, and I actually was living in New York. And I was working as a TV host, and I got to meet all these cool celebrities and stuff like that. And then I was asked, did I want to go to like a signing and, you know, get some sound bites from it. And I was like, cool, no worries. So I'm looking at the leaflet, see who's here. And next thing I scroll down, I'm like, Mick Foley is here. What? So I was in the queue and I was like, oh, Mick, do you mind if I get a sound bite? And Noel was with him, and just got chatting, and like he was just asking me, oh, you seem to know a lot about wrestling, have you ever thought about getting into yourself? And I was just kind of like, I didn't know the options were ever there for me, and I always thought it was like this thing that only like certain people could do, and it was only something you could do in America. And like, you know, I kind of squashed that dream quick when I was a kid. And he was like, no, like there's a school in I think it's like Dublin or like somewhere just outside of Dublin, and I'm pretty sure Finn Balor founded the school. And I'm like, no way. And he's like, yeah. He's like, do you have any regrets not ever like pursuing it? And I was like, I do, but I was like, I just think I'm too old now, because like that's always been my thing, like, you know, I left it too late kind of thing. And he was like, not at all. Like, one of my like good friends, like Diamond Dallas Page, started when he was like 35, 36, so there's no reason why you couldn't. And then the seed was kind of planted. And then, like, living in New York, the independent scene in Brooklyn is huge. So I was like, okay, well, I'm here. I'm in, like, a wrestling capital. So why don't I, you know, go down to a class and kind of just nip it in the bud. If it's for me, great. If it's not, well, then, you know, I tried. So I looked up schools and I found House of Glory, which is run by Mikey Whipwreck. And I was like, I'll go down. They were holding like tryouts and stuff like that. And like the minute I got down, I was just like, everyone is 6 foot tall. Everyone's a dude. I don't think I belong here. And I just kind of let fear get in the way, and I just kind of panicked, and I was like, oh. So I just like benched myself, and I was like, no, I'll just watch. Thanks. So like they got like, they were doing drills and bumps and rolls and stuff. And I just thought like, when you're older, being told to like, actually, you know what, when you're 16 and someone says do a flip, you're like, go, yep, off the couch, yeah, on the floor, no problem. When you're older, like in your late 20s, like I am, when I started, like the thought of like flipping like safety comes into mind and you just start like overthinking it and you're like, I feel like I shouldn't be doing this, you know? So there was that kind of like mental block. So I was just like, you know what, this isn't for me. So I kind of continued watching, and then I was going to a couple of shows, and then I caught some house shows at WWE, and I was like, I really, really like this. And then unfortunately my mom got really sick, so I had to move back to Ireland. And like while I was in New York, I kind of, in a weird way, I kind of accomplished everything I had set out to accomplish in the TV and film world. And I just kind of came to the conclusion that I don't want to live to work anymore. I want to work to live. And if I can pursue a dream as like big as moving to New York and working in film, then why not go see if I could be a wrestler? So I moved back to Galway in the middle of nowhere. And I was like, I need out of here. I need an escape. I need an outlet. So I looked at the school that McFoley told me about in New York. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to get the bus. I'm going to go and see how it is. And I'm going to make myself do it this time. So it took two buses, over 8 hours of traveling to get there. And I remember pulling up outside the warehouse. And I was like, I can't go in. I can't. Like, it was just like this thing that's like, no, you can't do this. And I just said, you know what? I'll just go in. And everyone was so lovely. Like I came from a Muay Thai and powerlifting background, so like a lot of the stuff kind of came easy to me, especially like the lifting and suplexing and stuff like that. And I just kind of fell in love with it. And then all of a sudden every week I'm traveling 8 hours just to go down and do 4 hours of training. And you know, I'm not getting home till like 2 o'clock in the morning, and I'm leaving at like 5:30 in the morning. And like eventually I was just like, I am hooked on this. So I started going up during the week and like missing work and stuff. And I was just like, I need to like make the move. If I think I can do this and I can like, you know, go all in on this, then I want to do it. So I ended up quitting my job, left everything, and I moved across the country, and I kind of had to start from scratch. But I finally got to train full time, and I kind of was in the mindset of an athlete, a wrestler, and it kind of felt like it wasn't unrealistic anymore. So yeah, I've just kind of been doing it ever since.
I mean, that's actually quite an amazing story. So what would actually be your advice to anyone that would actually want to take up wrestling? So as you know, there's loads of wrestling schools inside of Glasgow, and it's a big wrestling scene. So what would your advice be to people that want to maybe take it up?
If there's like an ounce of you that wants to try it, wants to pursue it, then just go for it. Don't wait, because the worst thing you can do is put off something that you might be really good at, because you lose those years. Like, I'm talking to 24 year olds that have 10 years wrestling experience, and I turn 30 next month. So I don't, like, I feel like, not that time's running out, but I don't have 10, 15 years. Like, that means I'm 45, you know? So if you want to do something, just do it.
Right.
Don't let, like, little things get in your head. Don't let people, like, turn you off. Just, if you want to do something, just do it.
Now, as I have already mentioned, there are plenty of wrestling schools up and down the country. It's like there's three in Glasgow alone. So every school is different in how they train the talent. So how would you describe the methods of training at Fight Factory Pro Wrestling?
So our training school would have had, our coaches would have trained with 01 over in Japan. So we have like a mixture of like a British Japanese style. Like, we're very focused on the fundamentals, like squats, push-ups, drills. Like, if you can't squat or do a push-up, like, how do you expect to pick someone up, or, you know, to bounce back from a bump? Like, you know, these are all the fundamentals they need to pick up. So they're very focused on drilling all these things. So yeah, there's definitely a combination of like a British kind of Japanese style.
All right. Well, that's actually really interesting, actually. Now, this is one question that we've actually now decided to include in our base questions. If you could go back in time, what advice would you give yourself ahead of your debut match?
Open your bloody mouth. I see it all the time. I still do it myself. I'm very much guilty of it. You go out and expect to connect with a crowd without actually saying anything. And it's that whole thing where you go out and, you know, you're G'ing up the crowd, but you're not saying anything. You suddenly become this mime, and you're like, why is the crowd not understanding what I'm doing? And it's like, because you have not opened your mouth. And you get backstage, you're like, yeah, I think that was a really good match. And then they're like, what the hell is that? You just didn't say anything. Like, I remember one time I opened my mouth and nothing came out, so I actually mimed words. I was like saying, come on, but I'm not saying come on. I was just mouthing. Like, which is ridiculous. Not enjoying it, because I put so much pressure on myself. like, at the end of the day, it was a gym show in front of 150 people, all friends and family, all people that care about us. You know, there was no need to be that nervous and to put that pressure to go out and have, like, a five-star match in front of your friends, like, you know. So I think if you're having a debut match, do the basics, keep it simple, and, you know, just have fun. I think so many people forget to have fun when they have a match.
Yeah. See, that's actually really, really good to hear, because, like, I know a lot of people that are either training right now or they're coming up for the debuts as well, so hopefully getting different advice from people will really help them.
Yeah, definitely. Like, and if you're just getting into wrestling, like, the whole, like, know when to keep your mouth shut and listen. You know, the respect thing is huge. Like, if you respect someone, they'll respect you back. Like, know when to keep your mouth shut and know when to bite your tongue, because you're going to have to do that a lot.
Now, do you have actually any idols or people that have influenced your in-ring style?
Yep. So, I grew up obsessed with X-Pac, just absolutely obsessed with X-Pac. I loved China and I loved Alundra Blaze, so I kind of, and like the likes of Goldust and Mankind, pretty much any character there was, like Chris Jericho, like the Attitude Era, like, just had such a huge influence on my style. And like, even when I did my initial kind of gimmick, it was all aimed at the 90s, like everything was, the moves that I had, like everything I did was all like a nod to that era. And like, even mixing things up now, like, I really do take a lot of influence from the likes of Luna and Goldust, that kind of, you know, dark kind of sly style.
Yeah, that's actually pretty cool. I mean, they're all really big characters as well, so hell yeah. Now, what would you say is your biggest or your best accomplishment so far?
I'd have to say probably going to Japan and get to wrestle for the likes of Emi Sakura. I was lucky enough to be in the right place at the right time. Literally every success story I have is because I was in the right place at the right time. It was never an opportunity, I just happened to be there at the time. And like, that's kind of how, like, I've kind of winged it up until now. Like, I've just, like that, like, I've just been there at the right time when something's come up. And I just happened to be in London. It was the day after Wrestle Queendom. And I was training at Eve in Bethnal Green with Greg Burge and Rhea O'Reilly. And the next thing, Mika Satomura and Emi Sakura walked into the room, and I'm just like, oh my God. Emi Sakura is like a huge idol of mine. And she came over to me, we were like doing strikes, and like, she helped me clean up a lot of stuff. And she pulled me aside and she was like, if you ever find yourself in Japan, I would love to work with you, I'd love to train you. And I was just like, oh my God, that's amazing, yes, I would love that. And then I just thought it was just one of those things, like, oh yeah, it, one day it might happen. But I'm a firm believer in, if you want something to happen, you know, you have to go out there and get it, you have to go out and seek it for yourself. So I put the word out that I wanted to go to Japan, and like, the next thing, I'm on a plane. I kept it secret, I didn't want anyone to know. The only time I let the cat out of the bag is when I actually posted about having a training session with Emi Sakura, and everyone was like, wait, is she in Japan? I didn't want anyone to take it away from me, because I didn't want anyone to claim like my success. I wanted to like pat myself on the back, as opposed to like someone putting me forward, you know, that kind of way. So I'm very, very grateful for the likes of Dan Reed and Emily Reed for like putting me forward and like pushing me and stuff like that. Like, there's amazing support from the Eve Wrestling Academy. And yeah, like, I went over to train, I had no idea that I'd even get a chance to wrestle. So, like, the number one rule when you go away, even if it's for a weekend in London or like a holiday or whatever, is to bring your gear. So I went for my first training session, and it was one-on-one with Emmy, and I was like, oh my God, this is going to be so intense. And she asked me straight away, like, let's not work on the stuff you're good at, let's work on the stuff you're not good at, and let's see if we can go home with something new. And I said, I've always wanted to do like a Joshi running dropkick and have it look flawless. And she just pulled out the crash mat and she was just like, let's go. So I did 150 dropkicks in a row until I nailed it. And she kept calling me an Irish frog, because I'd go to do it and my legs would just go like really wide. And she'd be like, no, feet together, feet together. I'm like, okay. And then eventually I got it. She was like, stop, you have it. We're not going to do this anymore. I was like, cool. And I got home that night from training, and she messaged me asking me if I had a costume with me. And I was like, I don't want to like be like straight away, yeah, yeah, I have a costume on that. So I was like, yeah, I think I can like, you know, put something together. She was like, you're on the show tomorrow, one condition, you have to do that drop kick. I was like, no problem. So yeah, like it was an incredible experience. Like, and then I ended up doing that match and then going on tour with them for the rest of the time I was there. And like, I got to train with Kaz Tamura, who runs Heat Up Dojo, and he's just a, like, the knowledge that man has. And like, got to work alongside a lot of the DDT guys as well, and they come in and, you know, listen to what I was trying to put together for my match, and they'd advise on what to do and what not to do and stuff like that. So it was like really, really helpful. So when I came home, I just felt like I had a new kind of confidence. So yeah, that was probably that, and obviously becoming the internet champion for Fierce Females.
Oh yeah.
Like, I think everyone, like when you're a kid, everyone dreams of, like, you know, oh, I want to be a champion. And then like when it actually happens, you're like, it's not even the fact that you have a title, it's the fact that someone is pushing you, someone's handing you the ball, and like, you're the guy, like, I'm gonna push you. So that was a really incredible feeling.
Well, see, now that you just mentioned it, you actually, at the last show at Dark, you defeated Danny Hunter. Now, this came about at the night before Lennox Town. You were against Jayla Dark, who's current Females Champion.
Yep.
And you actually beat her, earning your title opportunity at Fierce Females the next good night. So you basically just answered my question, because you did become the new champ that night. But explain your emotions, knowing that you've made such a huge impact in such a short time at Fierce Females.
It's kind of like overwhelming, because when I was initially brought in, I thought, like, wow, someone's throwing me the ball, like, and bringing me outside of Ireland, because, like, people may not realise it's very hard to be brought in, like, especially when you're coming from Ireland. So, like, to get outside of your own country and wrestle is, like, an amazing, amazing opportunity. So when I did win the title, I was just kind of overwhelmed, and I remember walking backstage and just feeling this, like, rush of emotion, because, you know, like, it wasn't the title, or like, it was the fact that someone trusted me enough to put that on me. And it kind of made, like, all those 8-hour journeys, like, you know, leaving my family, my friends, like moving up and leaving to another part of the country, kind of made all of that, like, worthwhile. And that all just kind of hit me at once when I walked backstage, and Mikey Whiplash is standing beside me, and I'm like, don't cry, don't cry. And he's just looking at me like, you're right. I'm just like, yeah, fine. Yeah, so yeah, like, it's an incredible opportunity, and I'm really happy to be working for Fierce Females.
Yeah, now we'll take us a wee step back, just because it's already, you already mentioned winning the championship, but OTT is kind of your home at the moment. Now, there's been a sort of change of direction for you, where you seem to have had some problems with your then tag partner, Amy. Mm-hmm. Can you explain what happened, basically?
So basically, you know, I was like the number one babyface, and like, I was on every contender show, I was on every poster. And then like, all of a sudden, I was on the posters, but I wasn't on the shows. And I just kind of thought, like, what have I done wrong? Like, what's wrong with me? And like, this whole time, you know, I'm just doubting myself, and I'm starting to get really insecure, and I'm starting to wonder, like, you know, maybe I can't do this, maybe I'm not meant to do this, like, because it's a tough game, like, so you have to have thick skin. But then, out of nowhere, I'm on the poster, and Amy Alonzi's being used, and, like, it's like I've just been popped to the bins, like, I don't matter anymore. And I just thought, like, I put so much work into building contenders, and now you're not even going to use me. So next thing, we get partnered together, and I just thought, this is a really odd pairing, but okay. And then I remember one particular show, it was the Defiant show, and I walked out with Amy Alonzi, and it was her first time in the Tivoli, and like, I was really, really happy for her. She walked out there and got a huge round of applause, and I walked out to silence. And I just thought, like, what happened? Like, why am I suddenly the bad guy? And then I just thought, do you know what? Why should I bother investing if they're not going to invest in me? So, like, I had to turn things around, like, because now they're paying attention, you know?
I mean, that's definitely one way to put it, because I know that you have said that she's been sitting behind the merch table, and you're the ones that's been putting in the hard work. So there is, you can see where you're coming from. And in my opinion, completely unbiased, I don't think you're a bad person at all. So
thank you. I appreciate that.
But we'll bring it back to Fierce Females actually at the moment. So we've already talked about you being the internet champion, but what kind of champion do you see yourself being?
I want to be a fighting champion, because did anyone know that Danny Hunter had that title?
I'll be honest, I didn't know she had it.
I didn't even know that title existed. You know what I mean? I want to be a fighting champion. That title elevated me and gave me opportunities that I couldn't even imagine. Like, nobody would know who I am, I'd say, in the UK only for me having that title. So now that that title's elevated me, I'm going to elevate that title, and I'm going to make sure that it's the most sought after title in Scotland. Now everybody knows that there's an internet champion. Now everyone's going to want that belt. I want the best competition. I'm going to put that belt on the map.
Well, that's really great to see, because you haven't actually spent that long at Fierce Females. I think you've only done, this will be like maybe your third show, I think it is, if I'm correct.
Yep.
At Sweet 16, you faced Joe Kay. Now, I think the question on everybody's mind is, did you expect that penny punch?
No. Hurt as well. You know, to be honest, like, bringing balloons or pennies, whatever you want to call them, into matches, like, that's an illegal weapon. Like, why don't I bring in a cigarette and just punch her in the face with a cigarette? Like, why can't I bring in objects and, you know, say it's part of my shtick and start using them as weapons? I mean, technically, you know, she broke the rules. She shouldn't be allowed to bring that balloon into the ring. But look, here we are.
Well, see, at this time of recording, we're just heading in to Be Your Own Hero, which, funny enough, you're facing Joe Kay again. But this time, it's for the championship. Now, what would be your preparations heading into this match, knowing the fact that she does have that balloon?
You can't trust clowns, because they'll pull something out of their sleeves.
Well, clowns are terrifying,
yeah,
so yes.
I am absolutely terrified of clowns. My aim is to avoid the ropes, because she has these twerking submissions that she likes to wrap you up into the ropes. The minute if Penny makes an appearance, I will get a knife and I will pop that balloon, and it will be the pop of the night. That balloon is not coming near my face. My face is cost enough. Thank you very much.
Another debut you're actually making is going to be in the capital of Scotland at Discovery, where you're taking part in the All Women's Disco Derby. Now, this is a first time ever event, and everyone knows I love a first time ever. But you were actually one of the first competitors announced. So, what's actually your thoughts about heading to a brand new promotion for a first time ever event?
Obviously, nerves and excitement, you know. I'm really excited to debut for Discovery. My intentions are to leave a mark, whatever happens. So if I walk out champion, unbelievable, amazing, delighted. If I don't, I guarantee I'll leave a mark and I'll be brought back. So whether I walk out as champion or I'm brought back to face Sami Zayn again, we'll see.
See, like you said, the current Discovery Women's Champion is actually Sami Zayn. You're incredibly familiar with her in the time that she's worked over at OTT as well. Now, the odds are actually incredibly stacked against her. It's her against 14 other women in what is in terms of a Royal Rumble match. How do you plan on maybe overcoming the other women and Sami Zayn as well, like in the aim to maybe walk out as champion?
See, I'm no stranger to a lot of these women. Mm-hmm. So I've wrestled Sasha Mott Martina numerous occasions. All I got to do is make sure I got a can in there to distract her. I've wrestled the likes of Lana Austin. I just got to avoid those punches. I've been in several competitive matches with Raven Creed. I know exactly what she's capable of. As I said, I'm just going to walk in there and make sure that I leave a mark and make sure that whatever happens, I stay strong.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, a lot of the women that's actually taking part in the Women's Disco Derby are actually going to be at Fierce Females. I take it you'll be keeping an eye on them as well.
Oh, a very, very close eye. I'll be taking notes.
Yeah, because you've got the likes, you've got Angel Hayes, you've got Ashley Vega, and you're probably no stranger to Emily Hayden as well, so they're the three that's going to be there as well.
Yeah.
I can't wait for it. It's going to be great. Now, in terms of wrestling careers, you've accomplished so much in such a little time, because you debuted like less than 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So what's next for you?
I mean, like, everything up until this point, as I said, was kind of, you know, a fluke, or, you know, I was in the right place at the right time. I try and not plan too far ahead, because I feel like you're almost setting yourself up for failure. So I set myself small goals, and like, it's only February and I have accomplished my goals for the year. So now everything's a bonus. So like, I got to debut with Rev Pro, which is one of the promotions I was, you know, dying to work for. Finally got to wrestle the likes of Chardonnay, Zan Phoenix. I've wrestled Rio O'Reilly now several occasions, Casey Owens, Lana Austin. Like, right now I just want to get the reps in and become the best all-round wrestler that Ireland has ever produced.
Mm-hmm. Right, now that's come to the end of my base questions, the ones that I have actually told you about. Now, in true Eat Sleep Suplexy Tweet style fashion, we end on quickfire questions, which I want the first answer that comes to your head.
I'm so bad at lightning round.
I do apologise for one of them. So I'll start you off easy.
Okay.
Or hopefully. Rock or Austin?
Austin.
Trish or Lita?
Trish.
Night in or night out?
Night in.
Cody or Omega?
Omega.
Xbox or PS4?
Xbox.
Your favourite wrestler of all time?
Xbox.
Your favourite wrestling pay-per-view?
No Mercy 2002.
Right, I do apologise. Katie Harvey or Valkyrie?
Ooh! Obviously Valkyrie. Obviously.
I'm going to be even mean. Okay. I'm going to be extra mean. Goldust or Mick Foley?
I'm going to say Goldust.
Yeah. Your favourite tag team of all time?
My favourite tag team of all time, DX.
Thank you. Your dream opponent? Maybe one that you've not already wrestled or someone that you've already wrestled?
My dream opponent would probably be Tony Storm.
Favourite venue you've wrestled at?
I'm going to go ahead and say The Shed because that atmosphere is amazing.
Oh, you'll be happy that's the end of the quickfires. But I want to thank you for taking the time out to join me today.
No problem at all.
You can catch Debbie in action on the 3rd of March at the first ever All-Women's Disco Derby over in Edinburgh at the Jam House. You can get tickets at shop.discoverwrestling.com. They are selling extremely quickly, so I would get on it as quickly as you can. And Debbie, thank you so much.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Cheers.
Listen, cunts, I don't care what the fuck you think you're doing. Whatever you think is more important with your life, you honking bag of tips. You know what you should be doing? You should be going online, you should be subscribing, you should be listening to the back catalogue of Eat, Sleep, Suplex, Retweet, whatever the fuck you're doing, that's what you should be doing. I don't care if it's your mum's birthday, I don't care if she's feeling contractions, get on it right now.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.